Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning. This is our last week in Sabbath and rest. Not that you don't ever get to do it again, but kind of our specific focus. So let's review where we've been these past 5 weeks. We started out in Genesis, the very beginning of God's story, where we read that God rested on the seventh day of creation. And on that seventh day, God chose to fill the whole earth with his glory and dwell with his creation, and dwell with you and me. We also, that first week, imagined ourselves in the sandals of the Israelites in the Exodus story, remember? A bunch of former slaves now finding themselves as a nation, as a community of priests under the rule and the reign of God, of the God of the Bible. And still in the Exodus story, in the midst of Israel rebelling against God at the foot of the mountain, where God gave them his commandments, God displayed his patient, his merciful, his slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love kind of character to them. Week two, we listened in to Jesus sharing a parable of the generous landowner, telling everyone listening in about how generous his Father really is, and how God is especially eager to bring those that are outside his land, outside of his community, in. Week three, we witnessed an outsider, a known sinner, receive Jesus with weeping and tears and kisses. And then we turned our attention to Jesus, who mercifully received her, restoring her relationship back into the community of God. Week four, looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan, we traced out that for God's people, for God's community, hospitality is a big deal. Because welcoming in the outsider as family, which is hospitality, reflects God's love and his character. And then last week, we embraced Jesus' parable of the prodigal son and paying extra special attention to the father rejoicing in receiving his son back. We were blown away at God throwing this giant party, celebrating with the whole community. And for each week in the series, we've practiced the spiritual discipline of imaginative prayer, where we slowly read through a section of scripture a couple times, and we imagine ourselves in the story so that we can experience Jesus. Our goal is to spend time with Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath, by prayerfully engaging the scriptures to get a taste, a glimpse of what Sabbath feels like. And our goal is to practice Sabbath rest here and now so that we can talk with God and our families about what role Sabbath ought to play in our lives, both individually and as a community. And so today we continue the practice, this spiritual discipline of imaginative prayer. If you want to turn in your Bible or get your phone app, your phone Bible app, we're going to be in Mark chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at verses 46 to 52. So Mark 10, 46 to 52. And using our bodily senses and our emotions, we use our mind to imagine ourselves in the scene with the blind man, Bartimaeus. So if you're ready, I'll read it twice, And the first time for you to listen, I want you to ask the Lord to let you hear this story with a fresh mind, a fresh heart, a fresh ear, as though you're hearing it for the first time. Okay, so that's the first part. So you can follow along or you can just simply listen, but I'll read it now. And they, Jesus and his disciples, came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So for the second time I read the passage, I want you to really imagine yourself in the story, experiencing it for yourself. Pay attention to what you might see in the scene. The angle of the sun and the sky, the architecture of the buildings along the road, the hustle and the bustle of the city life. Maybe the bearded faces of the men, the covered hair of the women around. Pay attention to what you might hear in the scene. Maybe the wind blowing through the shrubs and the palm trees. We're in Jericho. Maybe you hear the blind man crying out, his voice piercing through the crowds. Pay attention to the voice and the tone of Jesus. Also, pay attention to maybe what smells and tastes of the ancient Middle Eastern city may be around. And also, pay attention to where you yourself are in the story. And I'll read it again. And they came to Jericho. And he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. And Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. And as we reflect now, pay attention to where you were, where you are in the story, and also what feelings came up for you. Pay attention to Jesus as well. And we just linger here a moment. Just be part of the scene, just for a moment. Now let most of it fade away, just leaving just you and Jesus there together, and notice what's going on between you and Jesus. And as we move on from the scene, hold on to this interaction that you've had with Jesus, whether it was comforting or convicting, peaceful, strange. I encourage you to share this with somebody today, how your time with Jesus went. And again, it feels kind of like we're rushing through these, and that's okay. This is kind of, I want to build a skill, a template for you to do this at home every time you interact with the scriptures. But it is still very worth doing now, isn't it? We've spent several weeks now interacting with Jesus in the scriptures. And each week, we've picked up and fit together a few of the puzzle pieces that the Bible gives us regarding Sabbath. And like most things about God and of the Bible, Sabbath is deceptively simple, while at the same time being quite complex. On one hand, Sabbath simply means to rest, to celebrate, don't do work, because God loves you. And on the other hand, stopping work, disengaging from our culture's nonstop rat race of accumulation and accomplishment, and resting from our own inner voice that tells us to do more and to try harder, well, that's in fact very difficult and very complex. We're supposed to rhythmically and repeatedly rest and be with God as He dwells with us and enjoys us. Well, that's simple enough. Until we give it a try and have to pay attention to who we actually believe God to be and how He interacts with us and how we interact with Him. And what do we do about all of the things in our lives, many of them really good things, that start calling our attention back, pulling us away? And it's here, at the intersection of simplicity and complexity of God's invitation for Sabbath, that we conclude our series on Sabbath by looking at the interaction between Jesus and this blind man and the question that Jesus asks him. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks the blind man. At first glance, this is simple enough. Our friend Bartimaeus was blind, so naturally he asked Jesus to give him back his sight, and Jesus kindly obliged. That's simple enough. But now Jesus turns his face and he fixes his gaze upon you. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks. How do you respond? The God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, the Lord and Savior Jesus, when he laser focus, giving you his full attention, is looking you in the eyes, and you turn your eyes and you face him. How do you respond? It's probably a good idea just to take another moment and let Jesus ask you that question right here, right now. What do you want me to do for you This is a big question. Jesus is asking, what do you want me to do for you? Do we deflect the question, asking instead for Jesus to help out my spouse or my child or my friend or my neighbor? Because we say to ourselves and we say to Jesus, we're okay enough. Don't have to worry about me. Do our minds go blank, maybe, because we're so busy trying to fix our own problems and figure out what to do with all the things that we don't want, that we don't even have a clue what we actually want? Or maybe we're so used to taking care of our own needs and satisfying our own wants and desires with our own hands, by our own ways, that we've stopped looking at God as He asks us what we want Him to do for us. Are we so distracted or numbed with entertainment, activities, hobbies, work, that we've stopped acknowledging that now faint cry of our heart to even know what we truly want? Do we play down or dismiss our wants and desires because we're, well, used to not getting them met? Or we're used to being told that they don't matter? Do we even feel like God cares about what we want? Or that he's even interested in our desires? Has life and circumstance told us to, what's the point? Do you really know what you want in life? That's a risky question. Because if we spend the time to sit down with our hearts long enough for the Holy Spirit to bring it up to our attention, what guarantee will there be that our desires, our deepest desires, will get met? In part, this is why for the past 5 weeks, it's six now, that we've been practicing spending time with Jesus week after week. Because if we're gonna ask the risky questions of life, we need to experience God as He presents Himself in the Scriptures. We need a God as one who enjoys being with us and calls us very good. This is Genesis 1 and 2. We need to experience God as one who will never leave us or forsake us, and who actually finds favor with us in the middle of our sin and our rebellion. This is Exodus 33 and 34. We need to experience Jesus as one who is generous, who invites us to partner with Him. This is Matthew 20, the generous landowner. We need to experience God as one who receives and forgives and honors and restores us. Is it the house of the Pharisee and the known sinner in Luke 7? We need to experience God as one who is hospitable to us, treating us like family. Well, this is the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. We need to experience God as one who throws a giant party when He gets us back. This is the prodigal son in Luke 15. Sabbath is a time, it's a place, it's a space to rest from the hurried and the frantic pace of life, and to sit with the question that Jesus is asking our friend Bartimaeus. What do you really want? Jesus is asking, and what do you want me to do about it? Sabbath is where the rubber hits the road, where we create room in our schedules. We create space in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, for God to be present with us as we practice being present with Him. Sabbath is full body, full mind, and heart confession that Well, it's a confession that we can't heal ourselves. We can't really fix our problems. That our desires and our longings of our heart cannot be satisfied apart from God abiding, his joyful abiding presence. Sabbath is entering into the reality that we desperately need God to intervene in our lives, to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring harmony, to bring heaven on earth in and through our lives every single week. Sabbath is resting our faith in and on Jesus Christ, the Lord of Sabbath, giving him our relational trust and our loyalty to be with us as we ache and need and desire when we have those, as well as meeting those and satisfying our deepest longings. And finally, for our last puzzle that we're going to be doing this Sabbath series, I want to draw our attention to the fact that Sabbath takes place in a community. Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus!" as Jesus and his disciples and a great crowd are passing by. Verse 49 reads, "And Jesus stopped, and he said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he's calling you.'" Are you reading what I'm reading? Jesus said to his disciples, he maybe even said it to the crowd, "Call him." And what did they say to Bartimaeus? "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." Brothers and sisters, we are not invited into an isolated, just Jesus and me kind of salvation. Jesus explicitly sent his disciples, his followers, to encourage and strengthen Bartimaeus into action. Jesus sends his community. And he gives them a new commandment. In John 13, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You want some homework? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Go to BibleGateway.com and just type in that search bar, "one another." You got to put the kind of parentheses. I even put a link in the sermon notes, so all you do is click on it. Man, what you will find is astonishing. We are to extend Jesus' invitation to one another, to bear each other's burdens, meet each other's needs, to be the hands and the feet and the smile and the sturdy support of Jesus to one another. We are designed to do Sabbath together as well. We're designed to play and to celebrate. And through rest, we worship our Lord and Creator as a community. And with an encouraging voice and joy-filled eyes, we get to ask each other, "What do you really want in life? And what do you want God to do about it?" This delicate and risky question, so often in the past it's been met with guilt and shame, it can now be asked looking into the eyes of a brother and a sister in Christ. And in the community of God, where God himself dwells, you and I can finally find rest. Because you are welcomed into the family of God, where you are truly seen, where you are known through and through, and you're truly loved. Would you let me pray? God, what do we do with that invitation? What do we do with that serious of a question? You're seriously asking us, what do we really want? And what do you want me to do about it? What kind of question is that? Lord, we have some serious business to do with you. Because when we're presented with you and the scriptures, and we imagine hearing your voice and your tone, we read story after story, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we rub shoulders with you, Jesus, in prayer. You really care. And then you invite us into a community where we're not alone, where we can rest, where we can experience you, experience your love. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, in your name, amen.